Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Fernando. It's my colleague Diego. We are from Ethereum on Arm. We are trying to show today how to build a thing that we call Supernode in a very easy way in a low power device hardware. This is a hardware demonstration, and I encourage you to come closer if you want to see how we are going to build the machine, and we are going to do everything live here. We hope this is going to work because it's a live demo and always it's hard to tell. But if you want to see the ARM device and all the things that you need to create your own node at home, I encourage you to come closer in order to see all the things that we are going to do outside the camera here in our this small lab. Help. Here, it's here, huh?
So these are not the best conditions, especially network conditions, because, well, we are in a closed environment. So what we are going to do is to launch a script that is the script that installs everything from the beginning, so you can see what is going on in the background. When you install our image, this is not something that you see. We want you to see these tasks that installs pretty much everything from partitioning the disk and user creation and software install, so you can make an idea of what's going on there. Someone here is running nodes? Yeah? With these devices or more? Yeah? Now? It's okay. Yeah. So this is really what we do. We help users to run Ethereum nodes in low power devices, like this one. This is a ROG 5B, but there are also the Orange Pi 5 Plus and the Nano PCT 6. There are very similar devices. They have an ARM 64 core and 16 gigabytes of RAM and native DIG support. So pretty much they are the same. What we do is, as I was saying earlier, is we provide an image based on Armian OS that what it does is to installs everything on first boot. It runs a script on first boot that we're going to run here live for you to see what's going on there, and installs everything. From partitioning, user creation, swap, and of course the Ethereum clients that you once installed, you only need to start two system devices for running the nodes. So it's pretty convenient. We've been doing this for a long time, since 2016. And we do it because we think that Ethereum must be accessible. People need to run nodes on convenient devices, on commodity hardware. And this is our vision of Ethereum nodes. These are the features of these devices: low power consumption, affordable. These devices are less than $200. Great for lightweight nodes and testing environments, and growing support and community resources. We have a Discord channel. We have an extensive documentation page where you can see pretty much everything what you need to fire up a node. And if you don't know how, or you have some questions, you can also come to our Discord channel and we can help you there. So a supernode is basically a layer one node, a layer one client, and a layer two client running along in the same device. So usually you run them separately. But what we wanted to do here is to demonstrate that how powerful these devices are. And the only thing that you need, especially for this setup, is a device with 32 gigabytes of RAM. So pretty much the operation is the same. You need to start two system services for the L1 client and two system services for the L2 client. And once you do that, you have a supernode running, an L1 client running, and an L2 run. Yeah, as you know, in the last years, Ethereum it's been struggling with scalability, and L2 nodes are very important, and we wanted to give users the ability to run these kinds of nodes because we think that as well as you can verify the chain with the L1 nodes, it's important that you can interact directly with L2 nodes as well. So the boards, as I was saying, these are the devices that we support. Orange Pi 5 is a little discontinued because it doesn't have a good disk support, but it still works. And for the super nodes, you need 32 gigabytes of RAM. That's the only difference with a normal node. Okay. Yeah.
It's some of the same here. It's what would you need apart from the small device, the ROG 5 like here? You need a NVMe disk. Okay, and here will depend if you want to be future-proof or if you want to build an archive node. You even can build an archive node here with these devices. but will you need at least 4 terabytes for an archive node and 2 terabytes for a normal node, for a full node. You need an SD card. Here, please buy the best SD card that you can afford, because
it's
very important, the throughput of the SD card and the quality. Of course, an Ethernet cable if you want to have the best internet connection, the less problems with the network, because they are very sensible to the network and node. If you don't want to lose any attestation if you are going to validate with these devices, we recommend to use the Ethernet connection of the device. These devices are, especially when you are syncing the first time, are very hot. And the best thing to get a very quiet device is buy a case like this with a passive heatsink. Another very, very important thing is to choose a very good, a high-end NVMe disk, because we move from the image, from the standard Linux installation, everything that usually write to disk to the NVMe disk in order to keep the SD card safe and health. We move all the things like the logs or the swap partition to the NVMe disk, because is built for writing and the SD card is slower. We have a list in our documentation that with some disks that we thought that are the best, but at the end, is for us, it's very important. We have bad experience with bad NVMe disk that we don't suggest to buy. I think the hard thing here is enable port forwarding with your, if you are doing staking at home with your local ISP, you need to open at least 2 ports.
Yeah, and network as well, because we've seen a lot of problems that comes from network. For example, in Spain, bandwidth is quite good. It's really quite good. Fiber connections, you can sync and all flawlessly. It works great. But we've seen other countries and from Europe that they have problems with this. So yeah, this is another problem that we are seeing with users.
A small real-life example for this is the NTP protocol. In order to not to lose any attestations, it's very, very important that your device is on time, but to the second. So we changed the configuration of the NTP client here in order to be more aggressive and trying to get in time in a very, very aggressive way, the most aggressive way that is allowed for most of the NTP servers, in order to not lose any a second, because sometimes when you lose 1 second or 2 seconds, and maybe it's not important in any other computer, here you can lose an attestation because of the protocol. So having low latency in your or a good internet connection at home is it's quite important. And we are going to start a live demo using our image and a real hardware here in order to create a full node live here.
You are going to flash the SD card with, in this case, with a stock image from NVMe, because we want you to see. We are going to launch the script manually because we wanted you to see what's going on there, what the script does, and all the logs that is writing along with installation.
We are going to use our official documentation in order to follow the same instructions that you will follow in order to create this this installation, but we are going to skip some steps because we are going to not here waiting for download an image or something like this. Okay, this is our our public recommendation. You can find it in Google or in our Twitter account. It's very easy to find, but it's in Read the Docs. Have the same things that you see, the recommended hardware. You could see here we have a small specs of all the supported devices. The first thing that you want to have, apart from building your device, putting in the box and something like this, is to download the image. You have to choose the right image for your device. You can buy an NOPC, a ROG 5, or an Orange P. You can download all the image. I already downloaded it. I'm just going to see it. But it's quite easy. I don't know. Let's see. We are going to do a live installation with a ROG 5. We are going to come here. That's the decision.
Download the image.
Okay. ROG 5. And you can do that here, the image. I already done it, so then I'm going to do. Once you download your image, you could verify that this everything is okay. We provide the SHA 256 hash in order to know that everything is okay, is in our official image. And the next thing is to write the image to the SD card.
By the way, if someone has any question or any doubt, please interrupt and whatever. I mean. Yeah.
In cost, but yep. I've seen that, for example, there are right now Intel computer, X64 computers, that, for example, are buying for $600, which is more or less what will cost this with the NVMe, with the RAM. So
well, it's a little more expensive, but yeah, it's a good question. For example, the power user of this device is 10 watts, and you know that you have to run this 24/7, so it's a big difference with other devices. That's for example, and there are more convenience, a small factor. You can put it in any corner of your house or on the router. Any device is fine to run a node. I mean, we are not competing. Because we are there with DAP node that are an amazing option for running nodes. But choices are good, I mean, you know?
Another important thing is to add diversity to the network. If you only run AMD compatible processors and you have a bug like a few years ago, like it was Spectre, this bug who affects the hardware, directly the hardware for the processors, the Intel processors mostly, but some kind of problem with the AMD processors also. At the end, you could have a problem. And adding ARM devices with another architecture and another kind of CPU processors is good for the health of the network.
Actually,
so it's a diverse.
We are looking into RISC-V as well.
Yeah.
We synced a node with a GET client with a RISC-V board. And yeah, I think it's very interesting that people can choose not only a device but architecture and have a lot of choices to choose from.
Yeah, okay, I can agree with that. You mentioned your accuracy in TP settings to keep the server on time. You mentioned you have some specific settings for the time servers that are pretty aggressive. Can you share these settings later on?
TP.
Thank you.
I'm looking for it. It's in one of this configs. I have to find it because I don't remember in which package I built it, but let me
also. We will seek this later.
Okay, let me.
So, yeah, thanks. This might be maybe a silly question, but running the this on the cloud, like on an EC2 instance, is this not recommended? Or
Running a node in the cloud?
Yeah, like on an EC2 instance.
Sure, it's easier, but it's more expensive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the objective of the problem, of the project, the goal of the project is that individuals run nodes in, at home. This is the...
Okay.
But of course, running in the cloud is another option, and a lot of people
do that.
It
would be more expensive, but at the same time...
Yeah.
It's okay. Auto-healing and things like that.
It's okay.
It's only not more expensive, and at the end you will depend in a company. And if you want to, for example, not depend from 5, 6, 7 big companies around the world that could have a big problem at the same time. I don't know right now, but a few years ago, if Amazon Web Services have a big strong problem, most of the nodes are running in Amazon Web Services. So at the end, you probably could have half of the validators shut down because Amazon has a big problem. Yeah. Usually they don't have a big problem, of course, but...
You know, the main purpose of the blockchain is to verify yourself.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Good to can do it at home or with your device.
No, I get it. Thank you.
Hey, sorry. Another non-related question. From where I come from Latin America, where we have a lot of problems with electricity and public services, and sometimes the light goes off. Like for example, Cuba had for example 1 week without electricity. So my question is, how can I be safe that if the electricity falls, the money I have staked on these nodes are not going to be slashed. For example, if electricity falls, if I am running on internet,
you're meaning validators, slashed.
Yeah.
No, validators are not slashed because of a blackout. You just are penalized. If you are offline, you are penalized, but you never get slashed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I used the wrong term. It was penalized. If I'm offline, then I'm going to get penalized, right?
Yep. Yeah. But you can run a device for keeping the electricity at least some hours because you know this is very low power, so you would need maybe
with a small size.
Yeah. An UPS.
Yes, in UPS.
And for the internet?
That's the problem. Okay, if you have another source of internet, I don't know.
These are problems that are hardly solvable because, you know, it's infrastructure, internet, power.
With an UPS, I can run my... I have 4 or 5 devices. I have 4 or 5 devices like they did at home, and I have a very small UPS, and with the small UPS and plus my home router, I can run it for I think 6 or 7 hours straight. But of course, if I don't have also internet connection, I get slashed also at the same time.
So it's not safe, for example, for a black swan event like Cuba having 1 week without electricity. Yeah, thank you.
Starlink. Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you...
Yeah. What's the cost of Starlink? I don't know. I'm just asking. Yeah.
In Spain, it's $50. $100 per month. The monthly cost in Spain for Starlink is $100 per month. So it's the, but also you need a bigger EPS.
Yes, go to the cloud.
And is the staking amount based on Ethereum's minimums of 32, or you can kind of pull two stakes?
Sorry?
So with staking,
yeah,
you have to meet Ethereum's minimum of 32 or...
Well, this past week, we are staking with 1 to 5 ETH with the CSM from Lido that they released, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was great. We didn't release this configuration yet because we are testing staking in mainnet, I think on this device, and it's going quite well. But yeah, you can use Lido. We are looking into other solutions to lower this barrier, yes. We have validators with the vanilla contract with 32 ETHs, but we know everyone can validate with 32 ETHs. It's very expensive. So yeah, we are looking into alternatives. Yes, and this is a priority for us.
Yes, 32 ETHs right now is a good amount of money if you want to start to trading. Like Vitaly said yesterday, is much more than 2 or 3 weeks ago. So the barrier is increasing. But like Diego said, with some like Lido solutions, you can put the start with 1.5 or
1.5. But I think it will be, this is for early access, I think it will be 2.3 or 2.5. I don't remember.
It's less, but... they think that the lesson is going to...
If you're a solo staker already, you can up to the 1.5 staking now, yeah, with Lido. Lido community staking module. You can search for it. It's easy to set up if you have some experience validating. It's pretty much the same, but you have to deposit on the Lido's contract instead of the Ethereum Foundation one. And the other thing are 2 or 3 configuration parameters, but it's easy. The keys are the same. You generate the keys the same, and yes, it's easy. And you have a panel with all the data and keys and rewards. It's nice.
Okay. And meanwhile, I was writing this SDK with our image, with an RBM image, and we are going to transform this RBM image in our image with running our init script live here. We hope everything is going to go well. At the end, you could use a lot of different tools to write an image from SDK. Here, the easy way in Linux, in my opinion, is using DD, but there's some graphical graphical tools that are going to send, like a disk image writer and Balena Xer for Windows, and even for Mac is also Balena. So there's a lot of different ways to write an image from SDK. And when you have your SDK done, it's like you said, let me unmount it. It's like easy, like put the SD card in the device. That's not so hard. If you want to plug the the device. And if you want to come closer, and let's hope that everything is okay. No. Thank you. Something will start here. Let's see. Demo effect, live demo. Yes. Let me.
So again, okay, now we are going to connect through SSH and launch the script that we were talking about. And we will see how this image is turned into an Ethereum node automatically. There's no network, maybe. We need to find the IP. So,
in order to create the demo, I have to start a DHCP server in my computer in order to simulate my computer as a router here. But it's not needed at home. Probably your home router is going to give an IP to the device in an automatic way.
Now we are entering. You can see this is the standard. This is the standard image from RPM for the ROC 5. And now we are going to launch a script.
We have to change the
mirrors.
The mirrors. Yes. Yeah. We found that the default Ubuntu mirrors here in Thailand are so slow that it makes almost impossible to create this demo here, at least in our hotel, because it's so similarly slow that at the end, simple apt update lasts for 15 minutes. So we found some mirrors closer. We hope that it is going well here. Let me. It's not a big deal. Only change the sources of the ambient. Packages and let's start.
This is the script for the ROC 5. You can find it in our GitHub, so you can take a look. Fernando is struggling with Nano because he don't want it.
Okay. I usually don't use Nano, so but the default Armin image don't include the beam, so I'm just getting a bit stuck here. But we are going to start the magic of the project here is this small script that transformed the default image. You don't have to trust us. You can do this at home. You download the official Armin image and only run this script and we'll transform it in full Ethereum ARM node. Okay. If you download the image, that will happen automatically the first run. The first time that you run the script, it will transform it and do all the needed changes to create this configuration. Let's see.
Have, yeah,
a sleep. waiting for your router, home router, giving you an IP. And let's hope that this new mirrors works well here. That's 2 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, these ones are the fast ones. So, yep. So. How much time did it take in our demo at the hotel?
20 minutes, okay. 20, 25 minutes with official ports, Ubuntu ports repository. It's here from Thailand. It lasts for 20 minutes. Here is the best that we could find.
Now.
Okay, we know this is a little boring, but
the first thing that is going to do the script is test if you have already done some installation in your disk, because probably you have some problems with the SD card of the device, or you have to change. But the initial script takes care if you have a previous installation from the Ethereum ARM. Image, it not will be deleted. You have to. You want to keep your configuration. And anything else?
Just a question. Usually it takes 10 minutes. Once we boot your device with a new image. It takes 10 minutes.
Yes, the first boot is alone. It's quite long. It's about 10 minutes. But here, the thing is getting really slow. You have to sync all the information from the package mirrors from this Ubuntu-based distribution. But here will depend on the internet connection here.
Yeah.
And if it's close or not very close from the sources. And the Ubuntu official repositories are in US, so they are quite far. And
yeah, definitely process. Not the best condition here, no. Because networking is not the best here. No, it's updating the APT repositories.
Just no, the first thing that you should do. When you are going to install anything in a Ubuntu-based or Debian-based distribution, is to sync your computer with the latest versions of the packages.
And it needs to install some packages and to make sure that everything is okay. You need to make an update
in the latest version available. So you have to do it.
It's now installing some packages.
Yes. After the first sync, which is the slowest one, later you have already the latest version and it will go very fast. You have to see some, we think, essential tools in order to create your image. Some tools like Bing, of course, and Telnet for syncing or sync. A better syslog here. At the end, the most important thing here is a JDisk. In order to create a partition, partitioning the NVMe disk for the first time, probably you don't have anything in your disk, and you have to create a partition in a custom way in order to have your swap partition. And use all the available space in order to have the sync database of the clients. At the end, you will need a lot of space to sync the blockchain. It doesn't start to sync already. Here is only preparing the operating system.
The Ethereum node. No. The clients, the Ethereum clients, are even not installed.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a little low level, but at the end you are going to format your NVMe disk. It's taken automatically. You will create a partition, format it, use all the available space in the disk. We use X4 file system. If you are into Linux, you will know that there are a lot of different file systems. We are going here to, in our opinion, the most stable, because this is running 24/7, always. We are going to create two partitions, a home partition, a very big home partition, and another partition to swap space and TMP and temporary files, like logs or something like this, in order to avoid to write in the SD card anything. We are trying to make the SD card as read-only as possible, because at the end is the bottleneck in this kind of installations. We create an Ethereum user. It's a decision that we made. Everything is running under an Ethereum user in the computer. All the clients running with the same user, Ethereum. All the configuration is in /etc/Ethereum. We wanted to do it because we think it's the easy way. You are running Ethereum software. Everything is under the Ethereum user and in the Ethereum configuration repository. All the clients, all the layer one, layer two consensus execution clients have the configuration under the same directory.
So yeah, and if something goes wrong with the OS, you just need to flash the SD again, and you put a new SD, and you have exactly the same system that you have previously. And for example, for upgrading to a new Ubuntu version, same. You put out the micro SD, you flash a new image, and you have everything updated, including clients. And maybe it's a question of 5-10 minutes.
Yes.
You don't have to do an update, this upgrade, and all of this.
The main idea is the operating system is in the SD card, and you can change it whenever you can. But all the configuration is in the internal disk, the NVMe disk. All the configuration is here, so you are not going to lose anything if you change your operating system. You could try another one, you could upgrade it or downgrade it, or maybe you have a problem with the SD card. If the SD card is not good, usually you have problems writing the SD card. You will see in your logs the system trying to write in the SD card some small files, and you have some writing problems. Probably the SD card is wrong, or something happens to me that I put the SD card in the wrong side and scratch it, and at the end it's not working okay. That at the end you only have to write the image again, put it in the device, and you are going to go restart, and it's okay.
It's now writing the swap?
Yep.
It takes some time.
Swap partition on this very device is the 32 gigs version. You're not going to use swap unless you are using Tecua and Besu, because
maybe,
Java-based.
Maybe Aragon and
maybe
Aragon,
well. Yeah, because most of the other clients are less run hungry. But we are, at the end, we are using that. We use a daemon like named DPHYS that is a Linux daemon that creates swap on demand. So if you have space in the disk, you will create more and more swap in demand, and you are going to home killers the process. That's I think it's a good idea in these devices that are small and they are powerful, but they are small, and you probably will need more swap, and this is dynamic swap, so I think it's a good idea. This the process to get swapped. We changed some kernel variables for the swappiness in order to tell the kernel that use swap in a less aggressive way. We are trying to avoid write anything to the disk, so we're trying to use swap in a less aggressive way. And we install our repository. We maintain of the software all the Ethereum clients, all the Ethereum level 1 and level 2 clients in our main or Debian repository. It's apt-ethereum-arm.com. It's public access. You can download it to the clients. They are Debian clients. You're going to install all the devices. But we provide in our GitHub the tools that you need to write it, because you don't have to trust us.
As you can see, we use the binaries provided by the teams, the client teams, directly.
If you clone our repository, there is a background machine prepared to compile all the clients. It's a makefile that you download our repository, run into a directory called Ethereum Arm, and make, and we'll compile all the clients for you. They compile or create all the clients for you, and you don't have to trust us. You could lose our Debian repository, but if you don't want, because I want to create my own packages, we provide all the tools for create your Debian packages, and probably it's a good idea to do like this. It's harder. You have to know a bit more about Linux and Debian system, but it's not so hard. It's only a makefile that takes care of everything. And you could look up the code. It's nothing very, very hard to do. It's quite easy. Well, and now we are going to install all the Ethereum software that we support. You could see here, Besu, Erigon, Geth, all the dependencies around Nethermind, all the software that you will need to create a node at home is going to start here in the process status. And when you start an Ethereum ARM image, you could choose whatever your client you want to use. So at the end, it's quite easy. You run away and choose two random clients. It's still installing Teku right now. That's one of the heaviest clients. And at the end of the script, it will reboot, and hopefully it will start an Ethereum ARM node, and we could start to sync. I don't know. We are going to choose Geth, Nimbus,
whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
The idea here is that you can choose any client you want. You choose a consensus client. You choose a execution client. Start the consensus service, and start the execution service. And you are done. That's the idea. This is for layer one, of course. Layer two is basically the same, but you need first to have a layer one running. As you know, the consensus client syncs with Checkpoint Sync, so you need a little time to get the client synced. And the execution client, last time we tried Geth, I think it was like 12 hours. But Nethermind is a little faster because once they keep up with the change, the state is syncing in the background. So you can have a usable node in maybe 4 or 5 hours. It's pretty fast.
Yeah, just today we sync here in 4 hours.
Yeah. Four hours.
Here in the boot of Stick at Home boot, we
no port forwarding, nothing.
No port forwarding, not everything. It's slower that you could do it at home, but in 4 hours we have a Nethermind sync.
It was Prism plus Nethermind, yes. I think. Yeah, but again, you can choose any client you want. Teku, Nimbus. Nimbus is especially good for these kinds of devices because it's very light. I think it takes less than 1 gigabyte of RAM. It's amazing. And Prism and Lighthouse, Grandin, I think that we support as well, and Lodestar.
Grandin and Lodestar.
Yeah, and for the execution side, Geth, Nethermind, Besu, Wreath, and Erigon.
It's right now. The station of all the Ethereum software ended here with layers two. That they are the layer two that we support right now. And we started to install Prometheus and Grafana. You will have a Grafana server running in your device, and you will see all the, right now, the official dashboards of our clients. And it will depend on what client are you running. You will see the statistics of the node and the statistics of all the software, the Geth statistics or Nimbus statistics, all the with the officials dashboard. And at the end, you could see if you Grafana is very useful to see problems. At the end, you will see all the hardware stats of your device. If it's low CPU, it's low networks, you have problems, you have, for people like doing Panama, if you have problems with your internet connection, you will see the drops in internet connection when you are at home, and you could see via your local network all the stats of your node. Of course, this is already automatic. It's ending with all the dependencies.
Is in Grafana?
Grafana is already started, yeah. Oh. But we have to restart the node. This is the.
You mentioned the setup using a 2 terabyte disk. What? Yesterday I heard somebody saying you have to use a 4 terabyte disk at minimum.
So 4 terabytes for an archive node?
No. The problem is that the state is growing. I think that now maybe fresh ink is about 1.1, 1.2. Yeah, it grows fast. Maybe it will be okay for maybe several months. But now, if you can afford 4 terabytes, go for 4 terabytes. But you can run a node with 2. Yet.
It will grow. Network will grow. So all the blockchain will grow. It's growing daily basis. So at the end, 2 terabytes is okay for now.
Clients have online pruning as well now from just 1 or 2 months ago. So it helps to keep the size low. Yeah, it's nice.
If you load everything right now, you have some pruning enabled. Like, how much does it take? Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. But with 2 terabytes, I think maybe 6-7 months you can run good.
It's almost impossible to tell, but I don't think that you will last more than a year with 2 terabytes right now. You probably will need 4 terabytes for sure, or even bigger in the few years. But
I think we are in the verge of asking for 4 terabytes, yes. Yes, for be okay.
You are going to buy something right now, okay? Spend a little more, buy 4 terabytes, and you are good to go probably for years.
Yes.
Okay. Meanwhile, it's still standing there. This is the if you want to create your packages at home and don't trust a repository, we provide this make files. It's we use FPM, it's a Ruby tool to create APT, RPM, or any other kind of Debian or Red Hat packages in a very easy way. It's quite easy to use. At the end, you only have to pass to the tool some kind of variables, and you will tell in where is the binaries, where is the configuration files, which is the maintainer, which is the name of the package. At the end, is quite easy, and we will create a Debian or RPM package for you. So you could use these scripts to create your own packages. At the end, it's quite easy to you clone the repository, go to the folder of any of the clients, and write make. And we will use make file to create, and with at the end of the make process, you will have a Debian package or a RPM package, and it's quite easy to do. We think it's very easy. Well, and it will take care of the past. We'll go to the official repository, get the latest version, get the latest binary, uncompress it, and create the Debian package for you. we are not in, we use usually don't touch anything in the clients. Sometimes you have to compile it, and it's always in the makefile because the maintainers of the client doesn't provide an ARM binary for you, so you have to compile it for you. But at the end, let me see if it will end. Yes, the station scripts ended. Seems to translate. At the end, we will change the password for you. We create a Ethereum user with an Ethereum password. We force you to change it, and we will reboot, and we will just see you have right now a full node. We are going to connect.
Via 5G, possibly, but I cannot say. I didn't try. It's possible because one thing, the bandwidth needed is much more or less. So, yeah.
I don't know how fast is the 5G.
Yeah.
Whenever
it comes to networks, it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Have anybody in the community tried running it for a while in a mobile network?
Yeah. Thank you. Has anybody in the Ethereum and ARM community or in the Ethereum small server community tried running this for a while on mobile networks since? Well, especially here, especially in our second world, mobile networks are sometimes more reliable than me.
Hit it.
It's unstable, though. It's like the mobile network is not really reliable. Usually the one, at least I did, which is in London, you could use it. It's actually quite fast, but it's unpredictable.
And you are running the node still, or you give up? Or?
I did for some time. I did.
Okay.
So
it stops synced, it gets up, gets behind the chain and keeps up behind.
Okay. Exactly. So, you know, I don't know what was exactly the source of the problem, but, you know, from time to time, it would just, like, you know, either be very slow.
Probably
or
latency,
I needed to reset the 5G router. So I actually had to create a script that, you know, detected it, turn off the plug and turn it back on to another Wi-Fi. So it was like
that's impossible. Yeah.
So I was like, this is not like stable and reliable. So I kind of gave up. But for a moment, it felt like it was really good because it's getting 200 megabits per second, you know, syncing and download, which is more than enough for it to operate.
Thank you for speaking. We recommend fiber, but we are aware that it's not available in all countries. But again, we network have to say because what in Spain is a slow network or a fast network in other countries. We were surprised because we met Afri from Germany. And he told us that in Germany it's awful. In general, the internet connections, and it was like a shock because you don't expect a country like that can have bad connections to the internet. So, yeah, it depends a lot. It depends a lot, and it's not only
speed; it's latency also. Because I usually have 100 megabits at home, It's the lowest speed that you could hire with fiber in Spain. 100 is the lowest, and I used to have it because usually in my daily basis I don't need more. But when I started to work with Diego here, at the end, 100 megabytes, it come closer if you are running more than one node. With one node, you are okay, no problem. You will sync. Maybe you will last a little longer, but it will sync. At the end, it will work. But when you start to play with 2, 3, 4, 5 nodes, it's not enough. Okay. I don't know, 5, 6, something like this. But
yes. Nodes.
Nodes, yeah.
Oh, I run 7, 8 at home. I have 300 megabits.
I have 1 terabyte right now at home, and the difference is huge in times.
And you know, you have at home Netflix and HBO, and you are watching shows, and it runs well. So, yeah.
I think.
Sorry?
Can you use this with VPNs?
VPNs.
You can, but it's not necessary to use.
It's more like you watch ISP to see constant vector theory back and forth.
Yeah, no, it's I don't do anything particular. I mean, it's the stock one.
Okay. The only thing I don't hear is start two services, get Nimbus, and it's the Nimbus log.
So can you show the both commands?
Yes. Start Nimbus
this consensus.
Yeah. Client, and I think I started Nethermind.
Okay.
Nethermind and Nimbus, and it's starting to sync right now.
So you once boot with a new node, you just have to start two services, and you have you will have a node in several hours. Yeah. Depends on network conditions.
This Wi-Fi is quite fast. It's faster than the public, the general public access. So probably here in 4 or 5 hours, you're good to go. So at the end of this, when consensus Nethermind and syncing, you could start what we call a supernode. We are going to start off.
Yeah, we will start a supernode. It won't work because you need an L1 synced, which is not happening now. But we will show the configuration files because we need to change a couple of parameters. It's in our documentation page. So,
I have a question there about updates. So when there's a new chain fork happening and you need to update before that, like, is some of that automated because it's Debian packages? Is there like a cron tab that you have already in your recommendations? Or like maybe you can talk about how long does it need to be down? Should I check weekly or like some of that?
You could use the Debian automatic updates, but we don't start it by default. We don't want force you to upgrade anything because you could be start working in a version for some several reasons. So at the end, most of the people tends to wait 1 or 2 versions behind, not in the top of the edge version, because sometimes the new versions include new books, new bugs, and we are not. We think that it's not very polite to force you to update your packages. But you could use the Debian daemon to upgrade your packaging in automatic way. We will we usually update the repository the same day or the 1 or 2 days that the new version arrives. So you will have always the latest version.
Yeah, we usually announce the releases of new packages on our Twitter account, so you can see that there. So we just need, because we are running both L1 and L2 in the same device. We just going to put here localhost.
Yeah, he can use localhost because one of the software that we provide here is an NGX server. running as a proxy, because most of the time that people that run a node at home, they want to access to the API of the client in order to do their work or check anything in the blockchain. So at the end, it's easy to only use the IP of the device to get information. At the end, it's an NGINX server running here, like a reverse proxy for all the clients. And if you are going to use MetaMask against your own node, NGINX is running with an SSL certification that you will have to install in your computer in order to trust it. Or if you have your own domain, you could use it. Yeah.
So, for starting the L2, we just need to start. First, you need to run opgef and later opnode. That's all you have to do. And here, and in the opnode configuration, you need to put where your L1 is. In this case, it's localhost. So we put localhost. In case you have it in another node, you put here the IP, and you're done.
Natabula. No, layer one is not. Pues del otro puerto. It's an example. Everything is under the Ethereum, ETC Ethereum folder. All the configuration is there.
Now we need to specify another port for opgef, because get is running on 30303, so we need to change that as well. Now, once you have an opgef, all you have to do is again modify your configuration in opnode, and we are using Optimism as an example, but you can run Arbitrum or Gnosis or Base, so it's all in our configuration page. So it's not the only option, Optimism.
It's the super node.
Okay, opnode is not going to work because we don't have a layer one sync. Okay, see, it's going to break. But yeah, this is pretty much all you have to do to run two nodes. Two layer nodes in the same device. But, yeah.
Just to come back to that earlier question about the storage size, now if we run two nodes.
Oh, yeah, no, four terabytes here. Yeah. Yes.
So how big is Optimus
Yeah, I would say about 2 terabytes of Node.
Yeah, just optimism alone.
Yeah, yeah. And several months ago, you needed to download a snapshot. It was very difficult to decompress because it was already the snapshot. It was huge, and you needed like 6 or 7 terabytes for storing the compressed file and decompress it. But now it supports SnapSync and it works great. Yeah, it's very easy to run an Optimism node.
Yeah. We have really at home running a Supernode because if everything fails, we have a backup at home.
No, it's not running because it fails. But it's good.
Here it's at home.
It's ours. Yes. Okay. This is running at my home. Okay. This one, and you can see the average load, and it's running flawlessly. It's the same. I don't know if this is the same device. No, it's another Orange Pi Flash. And it's pretty much the same device. But you can see that it's running great in sync. And what?
Someone. Thanks. Here's one of the logs. Wait a minute, please.
What?
It's the last.
It's easy to see.
Nice. This is nice. Okay.
As you can see here, it's a very easy way to see how is your node going. You have all the processes running is obget, get, nimbus, obnode, all in the same node. It's an orange Pi. It's more or less the same device, the same powerful, the same memory. You see, it's not capping the CPU. It's 70% of CPU using, memory is 60%. Swapping is 50% right here. It's doing well. It's not even very, very high load here. So you can see this is more than enough small devices like this to run Supernode. Yes. Sorry? But why would you swap? Sometimes, most of the times during sync, you will need more memory that you have. Sorry, this is more than the 72. With a Supernode, yes. With all these 1, 4, 5, 6, 7 services running, sometimes during sync, it will require more than 72, and you will have an on killer, out of memory killer, with the heaviest process running.
It's a safe measure, I think, yes. That it's not using it
No, it's not heavy using swap, but the swap is in the NVM disk, so it's quite fast to access the swap. And then I was at this very funny web page that's Linux 8 Marram. So at the end, if you have swap, because this, the system is going to need. Right now, it's 50% used. Not probably, let me see. No, there's no process using swap right now, but during sync, we saw several on killers when we have all the devices, so we will need swap at the end. If you're using the 16 gigs of RAM version, you will use RAM also. But when everything is sync and it's running, it's not so heavily used, the service. Of course, I don't remember. You will have always a Prometheus server running in behind, storing the statistics of your node. So it's always running Prometheus server and Grafana server over the Prometheus. So at the end is another quite heavy process running. So at the end you will need a bit of swap, but it's not a big deal because the swap is in the NVM disk, the SS disk. So it's quite fast. I'm a lot faster than the SD card that the main idea of this is all the tweaks for not using the SD card. Right? Yes,
okay, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end. It's the a way to create your node at home. I don't know if there is any other question over here.
Yep. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. We have a little rack, yes. But you can put this in any corner because if you want only one node, I have maybe 6, 7 if nodes.
There's the concept of the WAF.
A WAF, yes. this one have a WAF in my case because there is no noise. So at the end, right now I have another rack and I have a little room for myself for work at home. But at the first time when I start running it, I have it in the left side of my home router. I bought a very, very small Ethernet cable. I only need one. I don't need the screen. I only need the power adapter and the small. So at the end, it's no noise. It's a little bit hot, but it's not noise. So at the end, it's half a very good WAF, very, very, very good.
And
yes, and I bought this small keyboard. It's quite useful to run these devices. You have a mouse and a keyboard here. And at the end, it's quite easy to work, but only if you need to put on a screen or working by this. But yeah, I don't think you will have a problem with it's not so ugly. And makes no noise. I mean, you can.
Actually, that's the idea. You can put it in any corner. So. Maybe a little, but I think that. Even in sync, because one sync is you can see the load average. After the sync, it's maybe at 50 degrees. Maybe
At home in my home is around 60 degrees.
Yeah,
I would always.
I wasn't in the place I was at. I got it in
there. Just I have it in a small rack. Closet, small rack, no ventilation at all.
No.
No fan, no noise. Everything is quiet and it's around 60 degrees always. If you touch it, you will notice that it's a little hot. Yeah, you could run it in a very close space and you will not have problems. I don't know. It will depend on your weather around. No? If you are probably 40 or 50 degrees outside, I don't know. I don't really know, but I think you can run it inside a drawer if you want. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay.
I don't know. If any so, other question?
Thank you.
But thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.